in a relationship, or maybe you're like, no, thank you, I'm good right where I am. And but community and relationships and love and how we can love one another. We talked about the fact that if you think as a lady that the men on the TV, that's the perfect man you want in your life, it's probably not going to work out well for us. That is not real. If you didn't know it, even reality shows on TV are not real. It's not real. And so we can't look at things that we see on TV and say, that's what I have to have. It's not real. But instead, we get to look at each other, the people closest to us, and we get to encourage and build up, and we get to be one with, if you're a spouse, one with them. You get to live life or as a community group. In fact, I saw a group of our girls that went on a Galentine's date. I think that was Friday night. And what a great idea that you, maybe there were a bunch of you that were there. And you got to go have fun. And we get to do community and life and encourage one another, just like in small groups. Next week, you all want to be sure you're here. It's going to be fun. We're going to be talking about politics. Anybody excited for politics? Just kidding. Oh, I see some hands in the room. I like it. There's four of you. The rest, oh, six, eight. We're up to like 10. So we're up to like 1% of the house today. Are excited about politics next week. But we're going to be talking about the culture we're in, the outrage culture. That there's a problem when if I have a different political view than you, that all of a sudden I have almost like I can't be near you or I can't talk with you. Or not being able to even have a debate on a topic probably means my heart is not where it should be. And so we're going to be looking at the outrage culture. We're going to be looking a little bit at politics. We're not going to be like, don't worry, this isn't that you should vote for this person or that person. We're not going to do that. You can feel safe. But we're going to talk about politics and maybe how it plays out in our lives. What should our response be? How should we move forward? But today, I believe God has given this opportunity for us to talk about a very serious topic, to talk about human sexuality, to talk about what marriage is, to talk about homosexuality and how the LGBTQ culture, what that looks like and how the church needs to respond. But can I say even more important than how the church needs to respond is how each of us in this room, if we are followers of Jesus, need to respond to people that may not act out their marriage in the same way we do, or they don't live by the same standards that we do. And the key today is I want us to commit to something incredibly important. And that's that the Word of God, if we're followers of Jesus, is all that matters. In fact, as I've been thinking and preparing, personal conviction is a really great thing, but personal conviction does not have to line up with the Word of God. It's easy to be really strong and feel really strong about something that has nothing to do with the Bible. In fact, next week we mentioned we're going to be talking about politics. There are a whole lot of people who are very just excited about politics, but not necessarily because it's the word, just because they like the person or the candidate or the situation that's happening. And today we must commit to ourselves if we're going to have real talk on a topic like sexuality and homosexuality, and what that looks like to us, and what the Bible would say, we must commit that the Bible is simply all that matters. When I think about this, if I can ask you, normally, if you didn't know it, I love it when you take pictures. I love it when you take pictures of the screen and post stuff on Facebook, and that is awesome. Today, I'm going to ask you to do something maybe on the other side. Please do not take one slide or one quote out of this sermon that's going to be about loving God and loving people and loving our neighbor. Please do not post a one-line quote that is out of context that makes your friends or the people around you have no clue what we're talking about. Because this morning is in no way about hate or about anything that goes against God, which is love, but it's about how do we line up with the Word of God. And in personal conversations, I believe you will be more equipped when you leave today to talk to people that have varying and different views on many, many topics. But it's probably not. In fact, I would go, it's not by posting it on Facebook, because that does not open a conversation that is a blessing really to anybody. And in fact, next week we're going to talk more, but political conversations, if I could ask you, Let's not do it. Private message. If you want to have conversations, private message. If you want to have arguments on Facebook, well, just don't do it at all, probably. But if you're going to debate, private message is a great place to debate something on Facebook. Because the people in your life, the people that don't believe or think like you, they do not see and have the background of a family and of a relationship. They don't have that. So when they see the church fighting is what they would look at, or bickering with one another, or coming against one another, it's not a positive thing that is seen, but in fact negative. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to refrain from posting lots of slides. In fact, later on, I'm going to say this is a great slide that everyone should post. And then you can take a picture, post it, do your thing. But I really want us to be careful that people in this room and people outside of this room understand the heart of this conversation today. When I think of the LGBTQ community, I know that there are many people that struggle with homosexuality, or they don't know how it fits in with life. In our culture, just 20 years ago, 10 years ago, it was a whole lot different on the acceptance side than it is today. And I believe that the church has done a terrible job in reaching out and loving our community that needs Jesus, just like you and I need Jesus. In fact, I believe the message the church is sending many times is drowning out the scriptural message of Jesus Christ, that he was sent to seek and save the lost. And on a Real Talk sermon, that right there, above anything else today, that is God's heart for you, and it's God's heart for any person in our community, in our world. That he has come to seek and to save those that need Jesus. Those that may not line up with his word yet, or like you and me, people that are trying to line up with his word, but I wish I could say I was perfect. And I can definitely tell you, my wife's not here, but she could tell you, I'm not. We all are in need of a Savior. We all are in need of Jesus. And thankfully, he came to seek and save people like you and people like me. Something that the Bible also makes clear is that it does not leave the door open for sin to be allowed to remain in the church or in the people who make up the church. There's no time when I can say, well, yeah, I understand, but I don't like that, or I don't think that's what I want, or it's not what my culture would say is okay. The word of God always must trump anything that I feel or that I think. Philippians 3:20 says that our citizenship is in heaven. It's not in a political agenda or party. It's not in my ideas, but it's in heaven. It's not in what I think, but it's in the word of God. It's in heaven. It's not in what I think would be easier or what would be just easier to slip by in, but my citizenship is in heaven. And for me to be able to say that, I must stand upon the truth of the word of God above anything else. The Bible is all that matters. This morning, as we navigate this topic, we're going to look at the Bible, continue to talk about it. We're going to look at the stats that reveal a picture, I think, when it comes to sexuality and especially homosexuality. We're going to look at the biblical design that God laid out in Scripture for marriage, as well as what he would say, what the Word of God says, revolving sin and immorality and adultery in many areas. We're going to look at his will for mankind, and we're going to finish today by what I believe should be our response. We're going to answer 8 questions at the end of our time together, and I believe you can leave today with an understanding of what the Word of God says, and a word that came forward this morning that we're going to spend some time at the altar, and here in a minute, we're going to fly through because I have a lot of information, but is that we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Just like Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. Not necessarily to do, but sometimes just to sit. Sometimes just to experience him. And this morning, I know there's people in this room that you are super nervous about this topic. You're super nervous. And some of you are nervous because maybe you have family members that are struggling. They don't know where they fit in society and culture and the church. Maybe today you would say, and maybe not outwardly, but that you have same-sex attraction that no one knows about, but that you've dealt with, that you've struggled with, that you are walking through. And today, I believe that God wants you to know that he loves you, he cares for you, and he has the best things for you. And we're going to leave, I pray, at a place of, Lord, I'm going to sit at your feet. I'm going to apply the word of God to my life. And if that means I need to make adjustments in my life, I'm going to do it, because my call is to line up with the word of God. Before we go any farther, though, I want to start today by affirming something that is incredibly important in any real talk conversation. And that is that Jesus, he loves, and he came to die for each and every one of us in the sin that we have found ourselves in. Whether it's small in our mind or whether it's big, whether it's something, whatever that means to us, it's all the same. It's all sin. Whatever the sin is, he came to die for us. And in a moment, in a day when we're going to look at homosexuality specifically and the LGBTQ community and what we do, I want to start by letting every single person in this room know that whatever your struggle is, whatever you're dealing with, whatever the moment of life is, that God absolutely loves you and cares for you. And not only God, but your pastor, your friend also loves you and cares for you, whatever your struggle is. And I would believe that Radiant Life Church, we love you and we care for you and we want the best for you, which is why we would have a real talk conversation. And in fact, this morning, I'm going to ask Radiant Life Church to do something that maybe will be different for you. Because I know there's people in this room that you struggle with this conversation. You struggle with this topic. For some, just in honesty, you don't understand. It's scary. It's whatever word you want to throw in there. And I want to be sure that every single one of us comes and starts at the beginning with the knowledge that we love every single person around us. We care for every single person around us. We can say absolutely without a doubt that the Lord of the universe died for every single person in this room and every single person on this earth. And that includes a list of things that we're going to read here in a moment when we get into the word. In fact, I'm just going to read through a few here in 1 Corinthians 6:9 before we make a gesture towards every person that really walks upon the planet. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither sexually immoral, nor idolater, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And you know what? We're going to close out with that verse. But God came and died for every single one of us. And every single one of us could put ourselves in one of those categories today at some point in our life. Every single one of us today could pick out of that list which thing we have to guard against on a daily basis. The Lord loves you in your struggle. The Lord loves me in my struggle. And the Lord loves every single person. So today I'm going to ask you to do something, Radiant Life Church. I'm going to ask you, especially when it comes to those that are struggling or those that are walking through and don't understand or the feelings, or maybe they're right in the middle of it, the LGBTQ community. I'm going to ask us to affirm that we love our neighbors and that God loves with us. And we're going to do our best to love and care for our community and see God's love poured out to every single person on the face of the planet. And that's our job and that's our goal. So I'm going to ask you, if you say, I want to be a part of that, I want to support people and God's love for all people, not for sin, the things that say that keep us out of the kingdom, but for people. I'm going to ask you today, would you just stand on your feet and would you clap for the glory of God, for his love for the people of our community? Whatever the struggle, whatever the thing is today, we affirm God's love for every single person on the face of the planet. God is a God of love. Come on. You can go ahead and be seated. I just think it's valuable and important that every single person in this room knows we love, we care for you. You're loved. We want the best for you. Today we're going to jump into some stats. I mentioned we're going to look at the biblical sexual design, and then we're going to talk about the response that we could have. And I'm going to focus for the next few minutes on homosexuality specifically, because I only have about 25 more minutes, and I got to be done here, and we're going to come to the altars. But when I think of these stats, this research is from Paul Van de Ven and his team at the National Center for HIV Research at the School of Behavioral Sciences at McGuire University. And they published an article titled Comparative Demographic and Sexual Profile of Older Sexually Active Men in a survey of 2,583 active homosexual men. These statistics were revealed. And I want to be sure, this is not a bunch of Christians or people that don't know what they're talking about, or Pastor Dave or myself making up some numbers that we don't know anything about. This is a secular university. This is a group of people that did research, peer-reviewed research, and they found some interesting things. That the modal range for numbers of sexual partners for a homosexual man was 100 to 500. That most homosexual men later in life had between 100 and 500 sexual partners. The 10.2% to 15.7% with margins of error had between 501 and 1,000 partners. A further 10.2 to 15.7 reported having had more than 1,000 lifetime sexual partners. When you read these things, I don't even know what to do with those numbers. But they went on and said that 2% of U.S. population is gay at the time of this, yet it accounts for 61% of HIV infection. There is an extremely low rate of sexual fidelity among homosexual men as compared to married heterosexuals. Among married females, 85% reported sexual fidelity. Among married men, 75.5% reported sexual fidelity. But among homosexual men, 4.5% reported sexual fidelity. It said that the people in the LGBT community are about 50% more likely to suffer from depression and engage in substance abuse than the rest of the population. The risk of suicide jumped over 200%. And this breaks my heart. The average lifespan of a homosexual is 24 years shorter than that of a heterosexual. When I begin to think about these numbers and just try to wrap my mind about what they say, wrap my mind about what we're going to talk about, the Word of God and God's design, I believe that a clear message comes out. It's that God, He's not a God of anti-pleasure. He's not a God of rules and regulations for the sake of it. But He's a God that is anti-pain. And that God loves every single person on the face of the planet. And because of that, He has laid out wisdom, guideline, He's laid out sin, He's laid out things that you say, no, we cannot be a part of as Christians, as followers of Jesus. And I want to focus just for a minute on that. We cannot and should not expect our world to line up with what we as Christians that have committed ourselves to the Bible. They're not going to live like us. They're not going to think like us. They're not going to act like us. My job is not to get every person in the world to commit to me or to how I think the Bible speaks or to what the Bible does speak, but it's to get people to commit to Jesus. Because when we commit to Jesus, then all of a sudden the Word of God and the truths of the Word of God are revealed in our life. And we understand why what the Word of God says is real and active. And in the stats that I just shared with you, I believe it comes just screaming out to me that there is a direct correlation between the outcome of an event and how closely you adhere to the guidelines, parameters, and rules set forth by the original designer. It is so important to realize that we have been created by a God in heaven, and He has given us a roadmap through the Word of God to know how to live and to know how to walk in relationship, to know how to do things well in our life so that we can experience the best. But when we go our own way and go against the design that God has given, then pain is introduced into our lives. Whatever that might be, I read before, do not be deceived, sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who practice homosexuality, thieves, the greedy, the drunkard, revilers, nor swindlers. None of these. And you could go and find other lists. There's way more things that we could add on to this. We must walk in the design that God has created for us. And I think about, in fact, how many of you in the room today, you've jumped out of an airplane, obviously, with a parachute on your back? How many of you in the room, somewhere? There's like four or five over here, a few here, another five, seven maybe, a few over here. There's a bunch, 20, maybe more than 20 people today. Guess what? There was a design for that parachute. And I guarantee, I think, all of your parachutes probably had a secondary reserve parachute, which meant if the first parachute did not work, guess what? You could pull the second one. And you really start praying at that point, I guess. I'm not sure. How many of you would say, why would anybody ever jump out of an airplane? Anybody in the room? There's more of you than the other way. Yeah, like, no, thank you. I think I will someday jump out of a plane. I can't wait. But, she's like, I was late. Are you going to jump out of the plane?
Yes.
Yeah, she's like, I'm in. Let's do this thing. So maybe we should take a group outing and see how many people we can jump out of a plane at one time. Like, how many would want to do that? How many want to do that? Okay, we're going to do it. We're going to schedule a summer parachuting time because that sounds like fun. I wonder how many you can take at once, like just reserve like a big hoop plane. Could we do it like in a war movie where we run one at a time, just jump out? Like, I think that would be pretty fun. But let me just real fast make a really good point. The parachute size is very, very important. If you jump out of an airplane and your parachute is not big enough for a human, in fact, have you ever seen those G.I. Joe dudes you can buy and they've got this sweet little parachute on top? The design for someone to jump out of an airplane was a big, huge, huge parachute. I love NASCAR races. They always have people jump out of airplanes. And those people, they put a target on the ground, and I've never not seen them land directly in the center of the target. They have things you can guide yourself and direct yourself, like super cool. There's design. But if you or I decide to get a cardboard box or to get one of those little parachutes and jump off our roof, anybody ever jumped off of something when you were a kid maybe or seen, yeah? Guess what? You just fall. It doesn't stop you one bit. That cardboard box does not have the right connection to hold that in. And beyond that, there's not enough time from wherever. And so don't do that off of a place where you'd have to test it. That wouldn't be good. But if you get a design of a little teeny parachute and you put the G.I. Joe parachute there and you get the rope and you tie it up and you jump out of something, you're going to die. The design doesn't work. God has designed us. He's designed our world. He is not anti-pleasure, but he is anti-pain. And that's why we jump into the Word of God. And in fact, I would say if you today aren't sure about Christianity, you're not sure about Jesus, think of it the opposite way. If you align yourself with the Word of God, I guarantee you that your life will get better because the principles that he's laid out are anti-pain. The principles that he has put here are anti-pain. And he doesn't only leave us there, but he comes and forgives us and makes us new and makes us whole and makes us well. And Christians, and as Christians, we are obligated to live out his guidelines and not our own. And it does not matter what our personal conviction is. It matters what the Word of God says. So we're going to talk for the next few minutes about what the Word says. What does the Word of God say specifically this morning about homosexuality, but every morning about idolatry and about adultery? We can throw in pornography, anything that our mind, in fact, the Word says that what we think in our mind is as we did it. We could throw so many things, but today we're going to look at this topic specifically. The Word of God, or the word used in the Bible for sexual sin, is porneia. It describes all sort of sexual sin, including homosexuality, adultery, incest, fornication, and the like. So a person struggling with the sin of homosexuality must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to die daily to that sin in order to live a life that's pleasing to God. Sadly, many people who struggle with this sin have been ostracized by maybe even people in a room like this, or by the church. But the Bible, I don't believe at all that that's what the Lord would have. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20 says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. All sexual sin, all things that come against our body, that are internal, we must say no to them. We must flee from them. It does not mean that we never have a feeling or an emotion or a thought that goes against the word of God. And if you can say you do, please, I will gladly step down off the stage and you should lead us. Because that is not what happens in life. But we are told to flee from those thoughts. Flee from those desires. Flee from those things. As we continue to go, Leviticus 18, 22 gets very direct. It says, you shall not lie with a man as with a woman. It is an abomination. This is literally male and female. It's masculine. It's feminine. 1 Corinthians 7, 2 says, but because of the temptation of sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. 1 Timothy 1, 8 says, now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and disobedient. A whole list of things for the sexually immoral and those who practice homosexuality. Romans 1, 26 through 28 says, for this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. When I read these scripture and as I begin to formulate, we're going to talk about the good of sexuality, what God has for us in marriage and his design. But instantly I begin to once again be worried about someone putting a single word or even a single verse on Facebook or getting on a soapbox and screaming out sinners of whatever kind. But God has laid out the roadmap for sexuality. He's laid out the roadmap we're going to see for marriage. He's laid out the roadmap of what is and is not going to help us and encourage us in our life. But what do we do when the word of God, if we went and just spoke that out, there's a lot of words that we could be called on any given day. We could be called a bigot. I think that's a pretty clear one. We could be called a whole lot of things. But what do we do when what our culture says does not line up with the word of God? And today, when I have been thinking and praying, I pray that no one ever would think of me as a bigot, because that person doesn't love and care and want the best for people. But when we stand upon the word of God, we're not bigots, but we follow truth and we follow how the design that our Creator has given us. We choose to turn from immorality. We choose to turn from my natural desires. We choose to turn from what I am and what I think and what I want to the Holy Spirit. And because of that, my life will be blessed. My life will experience the good things of God. The statistics that were shown, that we talked about, those will not become active in my life on this topic or any other topic. But we have to decide, and you have to decide as an individual. Does the word of God trump all other words? As Radiant Life Church, this is a special morning, a real talk sermon. We're not going to have this discussion every day. It will be clear and it will be stated and it will be published for weeks like this has been. Because this is a conversation, but it's important. Are we willing to line up with the word of God? The things that say don't do this, as well as what we're going to look at that says what and shows the principles that God has laid out for us. And I believe that we can preach the word of God, we can do it in love, we can share with one another in a way that our world can understand the love that we have for them. And that means it's a personal, one-on-one conversation. It's not a blanket thing, but it's to you. I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to share with you. It might be years of sharing the word of God before I would ever speak one of these specific verses, because maybe God isn't opening that door, but instead we can talk more generally, whatever it might be. But there's going to be a moment when each one of us must line up with the word, and as we are discipling those around us, where we are willing to speak the truth of the word, so that men and women, boys and girls, our society can walk out of pain that is caused by sin and walk into the pleasure and the anointing and the blessing that God has given them. It's worth looking at the biblical design for homosexuality, for marriage, for what I say, for what I eat, for all of the things in my life. What's the principles of the word? What's the truth of the word? And I want to look at what God's design is for human sexuality. In 10 minutes, we're going to talk about God's amazing design, his plan. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. That is God's plan and his will for each and every one of you in the room today. That we would avoid these things, we'd put them aside, we'd put down our own desires and our own understanding to line up with the word to avoid sexual immorality. It goes on to say that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like pagans who do not know God. The original design is a man and a woman coming together and multiplying. Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. In fact, I just want to take a sidebar and say, if you're worried about the global population, the word of God says to be fruitful and to multiply, and I believe that God will take care of the rest. That's his command to his church, to his people, to Adam and Eve. Genesis 2:24 says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. It goes on to even say in the Ephesians, and as Paul begins to dive into this, that man and women are to be a representation to the world of Christ and his church. Ephesians 5:24 and 25 says, now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And just so that we're clear, the man's role, that's pretty serious. It's not to lord over or to be master, but it's to give up his life, to lay down his life for his wife. Goes on to say, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Paul here is opening up this amazing, profound mystery of marriage. God has made man male and woman female with their distinct masculine and feminine characteristics. In fact, I want us to be able to all agree there is a difference in our little boys and our little girls. No matter what society would want to tell us or what culture or what stores, whatever they want to do, it doesn't make any difference. Now, at the same time, that does not mean that every single young kid is going to want to shoot guns and be a hunter. That's a boy. And that no girl's ever going to want to do that. In fact, I look out and I see the bylaws, your whole family, you go shoot, and maybe I shouldn't say, hopefully no one cares. They eat their food, they have fun. I don't even know if you shoot those things, but you shoot guns as a family, your girls. I love it that they love it when they get to go do those things. And they are girly girls. But today, it doesn't matter on those little things, but we want to, must line up with the word and say that God has created us a certain way. But some of us, our little boys, are going to be a little more effeminate than another boy. Guess what? It's okay. It's okay that we can walk in what God has made us and who God has made us while standing true to who he physically made us to be. That we are young men or we're young women based on the design, and God has not made a mistake. God has moved. And when it comes to marriage, we have different roles and distinct differences. We are created for a purpose, both in marriage and in the church. And marriage is about displaying Christ and his love for the church, Paul says. We get to show the world Jesus' love through the marriage relationship. The basic role of the husband and the wife, they're not interchangeable. The husband displays the sacrificial love of Christ's headship, and the wife displays the submissive role of Christ's body. You and I, as Christians, we're obligated to read the word, to hear the word, and then to apply it to our lives by living it out. We're called to be created by God as you and I have been, and you're called to live as God has designed you to be. In the body that God has given us, in the gender God has given us, and in the sexuality that God has given us, to line up with the word of God. When I think about this morning, the Bible is what matters. We could go on and on about statistics in any topic that when sin enters the picture, pain enters our lives, our communities, our cities, our countries, our nation. We must line up with the word of God. And there's a biblical design. God has created you. He loves you. And he has not made a mistake. But the question of this is, what's our response going to be today? What do we do with this information? What do we do when we look at the word? What do we do when it says something directly? Especially today, if you disagree or you don't like what the Bible would say, what do you do? How do we respond? And I have 8 questions that I want to answer that I believe can help us. I believe what the word says, the word is clear, just to make it really simple in our own lives. Question number 1, is homosexuality a sin? I believe that the Bible has made it clear, stated directly as well as the practical nature of creation, that yes, it is. God has designed us. He's the ultimate sovereign judge for sin, and he's laid it out in the word because God does not want you to be harmed. The second question is, can a Christian practice homosexuality? I believe the answer is no. The word says that it is unnatural. It is outside of his design. He is the creator. He has the design, and you are his. Leviticus, 1 Corinthians, Galatians, Romans, and more that we didn't look at today lay this out. We must turn and flee from sexual immorality, and we must turn to Jesus. We must leave our sin. Question number 3, what about gender identity? What if I'm born female but want to live as a male? I believe the designer lays it out. The answer is, you must not. The question is to be answered is whether the is of our emotional or mental state, what you feel, does it equal the ought of God's design? And I believe the word makes it clear that God's design trumps my feelings. My personal conviction must be laid at and put into underneath the word of God. God has not made a mistake. Following Jesus means denying ourselves, Matthew 16, 24 says. Romans 12, 2 says, be renewed in your mind. God knit you together and designed you as you are. Males to represent Christ and females to represent the church. And in a day and age where we'd be told, be true to yourself, that is always a false choice when it means going against the word of God. And in the end, will bring pain in our life. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And today I must line up with the word of God. Question 4, how should Christians share Jesus with the LGBTQ community? With the unequivocal, absolute, and complete, and compassion of Jesus Christ. That's how we share with every human on the planet. We must get rid of anything that would speak hate, of anything that would speak that we don't like or we don't accept. We love people of all kinds, and we want all of us in this room and in our world to come to know Jesus and then to submit to the things of his word. We love just like Jesus loved. Question number 5. Do we go to the wedding when invited? Do we have their husband or wife over for Thanksgiving? Can I ask you that maybe the answer in this is to seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit? As your pastor today, I would love to just say you should always do something. But in this case, I encourage you to listen to what the Lord would say. It could be you receive an invitation in the mail for a gay or lesbian wedding and you feel the conviction that you cannot go. And I would encourage you, let them know. RSVP back, no. If you need to throw it in the garbage after you do it, do it. But you know what? There could be a time when God would speak into your heart and say, you're not going to support what they're doing, the sin, but that your presence will mean something spiritually long term. And we could, today, there we would have different opinion on different things. Do I have someone, their husband or wife, over for Thanksgiving? I don't know. You need to hear the word of God. But I would encourage you, and I want to encourage myself and every person that would hear this sermon, to err on the side of love always. To love our neighbor. To love those around us. Because thankfully Jesus stepped out of heaven to love us when we were and are a mess. God is good. Let him lead you. Let him guide you into truth, into wisdom. The word, there's scriptural tension. It says not to even associate with a sinful brother, and that's somebody that would be in the family. But it says Jesus, all throughout the word, spent all sorts of time with sinners, prostitutes, and tax collectors. And I want to have love. And guess what? If you're in this room today and you come to me and you say, I'm struggling with adultery, or I want to do something, or I want to go against the principles of the word, I am going to say, no, you can't. You mustn't. I'm not going to join you. I'm not going to, that's turning your back on God. But if I am reaching out to my world, I might be in a different situation where I'm going to love just like Jesus loved and be in a place where in his day, it wasn't accepted. What Jesus did was not accepted in his day. So Lord, give me wisdom. Give us wisdom to love our neighbor, to love. Question number 6, what if my child or family member is struggling with gender identity or homosexuality? Can I tell you, please, please respond with loving, grace-filled tenderness and compassion. You only get one chance. You only get one chance to start a conversation. You only get one chance to draw them to the things of God. You only get one chance to show them love while being true to the word of God. Because know that there's an entire culture of people and of sin that are ready to receive them and celebrate them with open arms if you don't handle that moment with grace. Believe me, I am not saying let your kids or your family in your home do whatever they want to do. Please. On any topic. But if my kid comes to me and says, I'm struggling with same-sex attraction, or I'm struggling, we're going to sit down and we're going to pray. We're going to talk to God. We're going to let them know that life is full of sinful struggles, and this is just one more opportunity to overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not something that God can't do or that we don't know what to do with. We give them love, our family, our friends, our community. Share the love of God. Hold to the word and the principles of the word. But leave anger, leave disappointment, leave things that maybe for some would be natural. Leave them, because that's not the heart of God. It's love one another. Question number 7, what if I've already burned that bridge? Can I ask you to do something? Contact them. Repent. Ask for forgiveness for how you handled a situation. Any situation that you handle poorly, call them, ask them for forgiveness. If it's a child, ask them to forgive how you responded when they came to you, when they thought you were a safe place. They know you believe the word. You're not changing what you believe, but your response can change. your love for them can change. And just like last week we talked about the prodigal son, you can know, they can know, and they need to know that you've got a robe ready for them. That when God speaks to them, the robe is there, and you'll put it, you'll kill the fattened calf, you'll throw a party, and you'll celebrate. And until they're ready, just like that dad, you're going to be looking at the horizon. You're waiting for your son or your daughter to come home, and you're doing it in love. That's what we're doing in our community, in our world, is we have to love. We've got to look at the horizon. We've got to pray. We've got to be watchful of who he is, to call all sinners back to him, but with love and grace like Jesus. And our last question is, what if I have same-sex attraction? And today, the answer, biblical, is we can't be led by our flesh. We've got to flee from sexual immorality. Feelings, it's not a feeling that is sinful. Feelings are natural. We have attraction for one another, and for some reason, some of us have attraction for people of the same sex. In fact, I would say that's why the Bible says to not awaken love until the appointed time. Parents, keep your children from viewing and from seeing and being a part of things that opens up love in a way it should not be. Young adult, until marriage, person in this room, save yourself from marriage. Keep your mind pure on the things of God. But when I have feelings and emotions and attraction, in this case, for someone of the same sex, I must turn and not act on that attraction. If you are struggling, you're like every other person on earth in some way, and you must not be led by the flesh, but by the word of God. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. And anything that does not line up with the word of God leads us to pain, to death." And I want to say, this is not condemnation. In fact, I pray you feel the exact opposite. It's the love of God with open arms saying, come back to me. Choose to flee immorality. Choose to flee anything that doesn't go with the word of God, because he's here. His arms are open wide. We don't listen to what our culture affirms. We listen to what the word of God affirms. It is truth. Proverbs 5:1-11, as we head towards home, says, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom, incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion. Your lips may guard knowledge, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless. Lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed." This morning, we must choose the goodness of God, the truth of God, the truth of his word over anything and everything. We started with 1 Corinthians chapter 9, a whole list of things. But then it goes on to say in verse 11, "And such were some of you." If you were something on that list today, if you had sin in your life coming out, could you raise your hand today? Were you some of those such as some were you? That's all of us. If you didn't know, that's us. Some were such of you. We were in that spot. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. And today, there's no condemnation from turning. There's no condemnation from leaving sin. There's no condemnation from even saying, "Lord, I have let cultural norms become the norm in my life, and today I have to line back up with the word of God above all else." There's no condemnation, because we can flee those thoughts. We can flee temptation. We can flee sin, whatever sin that might be. And you know what? You don't have to live a life of condemnation, but can I tell you, you may have to live a life of struggle. I'm going to be real with you, because I struggle every single day to keep my mind pure and on the things of God. I struggle every single day to treat my family and my kids as I should. I struggle every single day to use every minute of my being and my life to see one more person come to know God. Every day I struggle. And guess what? All the people in this room, we all struggle every single day. But there's no condemnation because we flee and we turn to the goodness of God. And this morning, I want to close up this time by the word that came forward, by just sitting at the Master's feet. And today, you might be in the room and you might say, I need to ask God for forgiveness. I'm walking in some sexual immorality that does not line up with the word of God, and I need to flee and I need to turn from it. In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to come to make an altar at the front. Maybe you're here today and you say, I have been someone that does not love like I should. Maybe specifically with homosexuality or sin in any way, in any form. And I want to commit myself one more time. I want to commit myself, maybe for the first time in this topic, to love my neighbor like Jesus loves my neighbor. And you need to come and you need to repent. And could I say, I think it would be just like God to have us come to the same altar if we're repenting of sexual immorality or homosexuality, and if we're repenting from not loving people in whatever sin the same way. I believe he calls us together to come and to experience his love this morning. But I believe there's also people here that you have heard the message and you need to turn your life over to Jesus this morning. You need to give him control of your life. You need to make him Lord of your life. And if you'd say, that's me, I want to turn my life over to Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life. I want him to show himself. I'm going to ask you to come in a minute and find a place at this altar and sit at the Master's feet for committing ourselves to the Word of God, to the truth of the Word of God. This morning, would you let God move you? And as we close today, I want to ask you to do something. On the bottom of your bulletin, we have a new part that says, how can we pray for you? If you fold that over three times, then it will just rip right off. And I'm going to ask you, maybe you need someone to agree with you this week. Maybe for anything, whatever, we're going to come sit at the Master's feet. Would you maybe write on here something? Maybe it's for a friend. Maybe it's for a sickness. Maybe it's for a disease. Or maybe you'd be really bold and you say, I'm struggling with whatever area, little detail is good. And you say, I'm struggling. Would you pray for me? And that's all you could write on this card this morning. Maybe your name and I'm struggling. And we talked about a lot of things today. We want to agree with you that God, he's with you. And in fact, we're going to find some pens. And I'm going to bring some up to these altars. So if you don't have a pen, you can easily grab one. And you can come and you can be able to write that down. You can give it to me at the door, but we're going to take the next 7 minutes and we're going to pray. And I would ask you all over this room, would you just stand to your feet? If you already know, I need to respond in one of these areas. I need to turn my life over to Jesus. I need to turn from sin. Or maybe I need to turn from not loving people. That would be sin. I need to turn from not loving and caring. Or maybe, Lord, I need my mind to once again get turned to you and turn to the goodness of your word over what my culture would say. My convictions don't line up with the word of God. And today I'm asking you, Lord, to help me do it. I'm going to ask you to find a place at an altar, to make your seat an altar, to come right up here to the stairs. I'm going to ask you to bring your card. Would you put it on an altar up here today? We'll collect those at the end. Today, could we commit to the things of God, to loving God, to loving our neighbor, and to loving people, whatever the topic, that maybe we don't know how, maybe we don't understand, but today God will give us a new love. So Lord Jesus, right now, as we make a move in our heart, as we make a move in our spirit, Lord, would you forgive us? We thank you for those that are coming and committing themselves to you. Lord, we thank you for those that are turning from sin, sexual sin, in any way, in any form. Lord, we thank you for those that are committing themselves, Lord, to love all people of this world, no matter where they are. And maybe, Lord, even for those times when we wanted to go what the culture says over what your word would say, God, we commit to you. We turn from that. And Lord, we believe that what we put on a card, whether it's for someone's healing or for their salvation or whether it's for ourselves, that I need someone. I need someone to believe with me, to walk with me, to stand with the word. We believe that when we pray, miracles happen. Today, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care. We thank you that you are a good, the only true God, and you are a great God. You're our Father. You're our Lord. So right now, as we respond, Lord, let us commit to you and the love that only you can give and only that you can help flow through us. We love you right now. If you would, could you join me? Let's come. Let's make this front an altar. Let's pray. Let's seek what God has as we let respond to him.